Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. Happy New Year! You have reached episode number 404, entitled Alan Fuller is not found. Actually, he is, and he's been learning to develop blocks. It was published on Thursday, the 9th of January, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping just before we begin the podcast. As I said, Happy New Year. If that's the kind of thing that you take a break for, well, I hope that you had a nice holiday and are relaxed. We are back. We are going to be producing lots of content in the WordPress space over the year 2025, and I hope that you enjoy it. If you want to keep in touch with what we're doing, head over to our schedule page, wpbuilds.com/schedule. And if you'd like to help keep the WP Builds podcast going, please head to wpbuilds.com/advertise, and you can find yourself sponsoring us and putting your product or service in front of a very WordPress-specific audience, a bit like these three fine companies have done. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we are very grateful to OmniSend for joining us as well. OmniSend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. If you interact with them in any way, shape, or form, be sure to mention that you heard about them from WP Builds. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, I am joined by Alan Fuller, or am I? It's episode 404, and I think I lost the episode at some point. Actually, speaking of that, it did take us a very long time to get Alan on the show. As we mentioned at the beginning, there were lots of stops and starts, gremlins, illness, all sorts going on, but we did finally get him on the show, and he's here today to talk about his endeavors, turning his attention away from short code-based products to blocks and how it has been, well, let's just say a challenging experience. We talk about some of the plugins that he's developed and how it has been interesting getting himself upskilled and getting his team to work with blocks. And probably if you're a developer, this is a challenge that you have faced too. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast today by Alan Fuller. Hello, Alan.
Hi, hello.
Nice to finally connect with Alan. Either I've been ill, or Alan's been ill, or somebody was, you know, there was a terrible drama in one of our lives or the other of our lives. We've tried this many times, and finally we've managed to make it in December. I think you probably booked on in July or something like that, but here we are.
Yeah, I think it was the summer, and then the autumn. I think everyone going back to school, grandkids at school and everything else, bringing diseases into the house.
We even started a call at one point because I remember seeing you and speaking to you, and we had to stop it. I can't even remember why that was. Maybe there were audio gremlins or something. Anyway.
No, well, I'll tell you what it was. You just come back from WordCamp US and you had a terrible cough.
That was it.
And you felt you couldn't edit those number of coughs out.
Yeah, I was coughing all the time. I'd forgotten that. Gosh.
And my mic had a little bit of a problem as well, so we decided to abandon it.
Oh, well, I thank you for staying the course and sticking with me. The topic is going to be the same as we were going to chat about in the summer. So before we get into that properly, Alan, do you just want to just give us your bio. Tell us who you are, where you live, who you work for, which I know is, you know, kind of yourself. But just tell us about your background in WordPress and things as well, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. So I live near Woking in the south of England, and I've been a career technologist all my life, and I'm quite old now. So it's 46 years since I started as a trainee programmer. In terms of WordPress, after I left the corporate world in about 2010, I stopped doing work in that area and started working from home. I was working with my son, and we stumbled across WordPress. So, you know, 12 years ago, we started building WordPress websites. I started creating some plugins. My son went and did some other stuff, and I carried on doing plugins, and I have a small plugin business that keeps me busy, earns a little bit of money, and is what I do.
I was just going to say, is the URL for that fullworksplugins.com?
Fullworksplugins.com is the URL.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes. You always seem to be around in the same sort of conversations that I am. I don't know if it's just that we collide on the same kind of topics, coincidentally, but do you sort of obsess about WordPress? Because it sounds like you've got more irons in the fire, if you know what I mean. Maybe you're into just technology more broadly, or programming more broadly, or has it basically become all about the WordPress stuff?
The last few years it became about the WordPress stuff, and during COVID lockdown I started getting involved in keeping myself busy and focused, and I started volunteering a lot on the support forums on WordPress.org and helping out in the plugin reviews, not actually doing any plugin reviews, but just hanging out on their Slack and answering questions and things like that. So I've had a lot of experience with that side. I've even got a core contributor badge, and I don't think I did very much. I think I added one comment or something. But yes, since I've been on my own without my son, I've been focusing on the plugins, and focusing on the plugins makes you very deep into the WordPress space. I'm also a developer that is not very good at marketing, so I do try, and I'm a very small business, you know, so I can't go and employ a marketing firm and pay them thousands of dollars a month. So I have to sort of force myself to be out there, even though I'm sort of slightly socially anxious.
Do you know what? You are not the only person who has that, and I'm going to use air quotes, I'm doing it, problem. Because I speak to a lot of people who are developers, and they've got fabulous products, in many cases really polished, you know, there's a lot of effort gone into it. But getting it out into the wider world is just the piece of the puzzle that they cannot grapple with. And so I don't know how many times I've been contacted by people who've got products, like I said, that are seemingly excellent, and they just can't do that jump. And that must be a little bit, well, heartbreaking, for want of a better word, because you pour your blood, sweat and tears into something, and then finally getting it in front of people does often, I think, take a bit of luck in many cases, but also that ability to write good marketing content, or employ somebody to do it, or just be the gregarious kind of person that's willing to go to events and put yourself in videos and podcasts and things like that. So I do sympathize. Do you find that's you're on a podcast now, so clearly you're getting over that hump a little bit. Do you find that something you still find uncomfortable, or do you find that you get better at it as the years go by?
I find it uncomfortable. I find it uncomfortable. There's no doubt about it. The first WordCamp I've ever been to was last year, and given that I've been in WordPress for 12 years, you know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I should have been going and making friends and things a lot earlier. But I just find it uncomfortable. I remember I went to, have you heard of Brighton SEO?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Conference,
yeah.
You know, many years ago, because when we started out, we weren't actually starting out as a WordPress agency. We were starting out as a PPC and an SEO agency. And okay. I went to Brighton SEO. And you know, I had to queue to get in, and I was on my own, and I didn't know anyone. And after about 2 hours, I just had to get out. Mm. I couldn't, you know, it just didn't suit me. I'm not a sort of crowd sort of person. So, you know, I find it hard. Mm. I'm on a podcast. I'm sort of, no, I have to start doing these things because I have plugins that are successful by accident. And I have plugins that I put work into and aren't successful, not because they're bad or anything else. They're good. They obviously put my heart into them, but no one knows about them.
Yeah. I think podcasting is a really good format for things like this because, firstly, although you and I can see each other, because there is a video that is happening between Alan and I at the moment, but it's not being recorded. The platform that I use, you just toggle it off and it will not capture it. But I think it's a really nice, it's a nice format because it's kind of a halfway house in a way. Video, there's that whole thing about, you know, how do I look? What does my background look like? How will people perceive the way that I am? And I think with the audio, there's something there. I've just loved audio as a format forever. Since I was a little kid listening to the radio in my kitchen when I was growing up. And so hopefully this conversation won't be too uncomfortable. You look fairly relaxed at the moment, I have to say.
Yeah, I feel fairly relaxed, but I've stopped looking at myself on the video feed there.
Yeah.
And most of the time I probably have my eyes closed while I'm thinking because that's the way I am.
That's a really good way I found of conducting interviews. It was only fairly recently that the platform that I use to do the interviews introduced video. I was using a platform that was entirely audio only, and I found that it was very effective if I wanted to really concentrate on what the guest was saying to just shut my eyes. So shut your eyes as much as you like. It's a really good idea if you're trying to concentrate on what somebody's saying. Let's get into the topic today. So one of the plugins that you do is kind of an event-driven plugin. And in the fairly recent past, I don't know exactly when, you can set out the timeline for us if you like, you've taken this plugin over from being kind of like old school, if you like, a short code-based plugin to the modern WordPress way, I guess, which is Blocks. And as much, I'm sure, as you would have liked that journey to have been click your fingers, dead simple, no problems. It doesn't appear to have gone that way. So hopefully, during the podcast today, you'll be able to, it'll be like I'm asking you to lie down on the psychologist's bench and tell me all about the problems and we'll air them and we'll see if we can get to the bottom of it and work out what went wrong. So first of all, tell us about the plugin in question and what was the thing that hauled you over to modern WordPress from shortcodes?
Yeah, okay. So my plugin is called Display Eventbrite Events, which it does that. It displays Eventbrite events. And it's I would say it is the most successful standalone Eventbrite event plugin that's not associated with an event calendar or anything else in WordPress. And the main reason for that is many years ago, whenever it was, 2015, I was joined up with some business consultants who were running events via Eventbrite, and they had a WordPress website. And I had a look, and there was no easy way of displaying Eventbrite events on WordPress. So one afternoon, I sat down, and I wrote the code for myself. And it worked, and I published it on the repo, and it got a lot of traction. And so I added some premium features and I started earning money from it. And then I got more feedback and then added more features. And at that point, it was short code because Blocks didn't exist. So over the time, we ended up with 90 odd options on the short code.
Gosh.
It makes it very, very difficult to work out and configure. Again, I mean, Blocks were just starting to happen, but because it was so difficult to configure, I created a sort of an online demo shortcut builder thing where you could select the different options. You know, it's just basically, it was Gravity Forms with 90 options on it, and you click on them and then it'll show you in real time what the change, you know, the different layouts and the different options, whether you're going to have the price on there and all those sort of things that people had wanted over time. So we ended up with 90 options short code. And that was fine. And it was, the premium version was selling well. It was my leading plugin. No real reason to change it. The price I'd pushed up from originally, I think I was charging $6 a year.
Oh, no. Ow. Gosh.
And I doubled that, and I doubled my income, and I doubled it again and doubled it again, and we're now about $60 a year. So
that seems like such an interesting amount of money. Just such an arbitrary thing, $6. Yeah, I genuinely can't think of anything that cost that much. But that was the thing back in the day, wasn't it? It was really difficult to get into the whole commercialization of plugins, because there was a part of the community back then that really thought that was weird. And if you're in different CMSs like Drupal, that still is quite a step too far to charge for things in many ways. So I commend you for making it at least work for yourselves. So when you say short codes, forgive me, if you're listening to this podcast and you have no idea what a short code is, this was something in WordPress which was deployed more or less everywhere. It became ubiquitous. And it was a simple way, contained in sort of square brackets, of dumping something into, let's say, a post or a page or something like that. And then it would render something. And in this case, I'm guessing it would render the details that you wanted out of Eventbrite. But you said that there were 90 different options, and I'm guessing that those options had to be added as sort of parameters within the short code. So you'd have, open curly braces, Eventbrite, and then just one thing after another thing after another thing, right?
Yeah, so you would start off with basically, when the plugin first came out, it was just like, open square brackets, WFEA, widget for Eventbrite. And then there was only two options.
Right.
So it was like the number of events, which was 5, you know, and then whether you wanted to show private or not. And that was the first premium option to allow you to hide private events. That was the cheap, that one option. But then different layouts, so you have layout, then you have different texts on. If it's sold out, do you want to change the text? You know, and then you end up with just hundreds, well, not yeah. 90 different things with filters. Do you want to filter out events by keywords? Do you want to filter them by location? Do you want to show the location? Just goes on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah, sort of ascending, descending, and so on and so forth. So the short code, by the end of it, was like an A4 page full of font size 14. It was just massive. Curious that you didn't kind of take the option to build, maybe it was just more effort than it was worth, to build the sort of short code generator, if you like, within the plugin. But I guess that's what you were doing on your website, where you could demo what the output would look like. You could just build it over there and then copy and paste it.
Exactly. Got it. And that's exactly what I did, and had a link from within the plugin to the demo page, and then people click on it and then they copy and paste it. And that suited people. But as just on a technical front, short codes are really easy to code.
Nice.
Very easy to code. They're just literally, you say a parameter and you just take that parameter and you can build a short code plugin in 5 minutes. And with AI now, you can do it in 0 minutes, it literally is the simplest thing in the world, which is not blocks, which is the most complicated thing in the world. So that was good, and the plugin was fine, but WordPress user base over time, I don't want to say this in a derogatory way, but it'll sound it, has dumbed down. People are building websites without wanting to write code, and now people are thinking that just writing a list of arguments in a short code is code. To a technical person, it's like, well, that's crazy, but people don't want to do that. They want to click on buttons and widgets, and that's where Gutenberg starts to come in to play, and the block editor and Elementor and everything else, and that's why they're so popular, because people just don't want to touch code.
Yeah, that's curious. Yeah. It really hadn't occurred to me that people would find creating a shortcode adjacent to coding, but I guess it has that feel in a way, doesn't it? You know, you're setting up some sort of text-based thing, which is not really, I mean, if you know what you're doing, it's human readable. And after you've parsed it a few times, it probably the shortcode is entirely human. Oh, well, that does that, and that one does that, and that one does that. But it has that feeling of it, doesn't it? It's not a point, click, drag, you know, if you want to change the color, you're going to do that with some sort of color picker and slide around until you get your desire, as opposed to dropping the hex value into some parameter in a shortcode. I hadn't really thought about that. And the idea that the adjacentness, for want of a better word, of that to code is enough to make it so that that's no longer feasible in WordPress. It would be a little bit, I suppose in a sense, it would be a bit like me giving my child a Nokia phone and saying, there you go, use that. It's fine. It makes phone calls and you can do text messaging. It's just great. Off you go, no problem. And of course my son would look at it and go, that's weird, it's not a rectangle for a start. And so it's a bit like that. We've got a user base now which has become very, and you use the word, what did you say, de-skilled or dumbed down? That was it.
I called it dumbed down. Yeah. It might be a bit derogatory, but
I get it, you know, the desire to do things within an interface without having to interact with code. And that's definitely the direction of travel for WordPress, isn't it? You know, if you look back over the last 8 years, that is where we've been going, the idea of democratizing publishing. And obviously to somebody that's like really familiar with code like you, it just seems like But to, I guess, the majority of people who are interacting with WordPress, and by the majority, I really do mean that. I would imagine that we're into the high 90% of people who use WordPress on a daily basis who haven't the faintest idea what's going on behind the scenes. They just know that there's a login URL and that the UI looks like this. And if you want to change something, you do it over here and then click publish and you're done. You log out again. So, yeah. Okay, so you bit the bullet and you decided, okay, this plugin is going over to Blocks, which sounded really easy when you said it.
it sounded really easy when I said it. Well, I knew it was going to be difficult, and that was about 2 years ago that I started that journey. And I started off by writing some sort of demo blocks for myself to understand how blocks worked, and never really got it. And this was just a little bit before AI coding assistants came in. So you know, I was having to work from what was very scratchy documentation. People will tell you that the documentation on how to build blocks is not great.
Mm.
And it also a moving target. Even 2 years ago, things were moving in the way that you're building. So I started building it. And I got about halfway through, I created some of the basic principles and I got about halfway through and there's so much work to do with all those options. Every single option has to be coded. And it was like, and you're duplicating everything in Gutenberg because you've got the front end and you've got the back end. And the front end is in the editor. And the back end is in your plugin, but the front end of a WordPress website is not using Gutenberg. It's using the result from your, and it's less like, this is all a bit of a headache. So I did spend a month or so on it, created some scaffolding, if you like, and then parked that branch and ignored it for a while. And, a year ago, I started Elementor. Has started becoming so massive in the user base, and I was getting a lot of support queries about how to actually put shortcodes into Elementor, and I could see all my users were using Elementor. So I decided that I would bite the bullet with Elementor and take my online demo form concept, because that, as you say, the idea is you could put that directly inside the plugin, and the best way to do that would be build a Elementor widget. But I thought I'm earning a little bit of money from this plugin, and I'm getting stressed about creating all these things. I'll employ a contract developer to do the work.
Okay, I can well imagine how this conversation is going to go now. But carry on. This is fascinating. I'm loving this.
So round about this time last year, I reached out to some of the specialist companies that provide part-time developers, because I knew I couldn't afford a full-time developer, and found a very good, competent developer, and took him on for 2 hours a day on a ongoing rolling contract. The idea to, first of all, to crack out the Elementor widget, which he started doing, and that was an interesting learning curve in its own right, because in my corporate life as a developer was a long time ago, and working within teams and things wasn't remote. We were all in an office and we shared ideas and we knew what we were doing by going to each other's desk. And now we're communicating by Slack, we're communicating by pull requests from GitHub, and it's quite a learning curve just getting a process in place for that. I've always had a very bad memory anyway, in terms of I remember principles and concepts, but I don't remember very specific things. That's just my nature. So I'm always having to reference documents or go back. So I've always had an issue tracking project management process, because, when I was working in corporate life, people would joke with me on a Monday morning, I had to completely reboot because I had no idea what we were doing that week. That's just the way I am. So I was used to working with like issue track logs and things like that. So that transferred fairly well to having a developer, because he could update statuses and that as well. And the Elementor bit actually went relatively smoothly, and probably within a month and a half of 2 hours a day, we got that pretty much nailed. And so I thought, okay, right, that's good. We created the Elementor bit. We won't put that out into production yet, because I've just got this canned Gutenberg block that I created the previous year and I'd put on ice. And then that just took so long. There's just so many nuances and difficulties, and the concept are just so hard compared to creating a widget in Elementor or a shortcode to a Gutenberg block. But we did get there, but we took another 4 months to actually get to the final result.
Can I just pause you there and ask, you said you labored the point that it was so hard, there were just so many options. Do you want to, for those people who've never built a block, but maybe some of them have an intuition now that they're never going to build a block, or maybe the opposite, what makes it so much more difficult at the outset to achieve the transition from the shortcode version over to the block-based version, as opposed to the Elementor widget version? What were the stumbling blocks that you recall?
Recall this. You can test my memory now. some of the stumbling blocks are, right, the basic principle is that within the editor, you need to render things using React. Which is fine, and it's a fairly straightforward system. But you then have to render them from the back end, and you've got to make decisions. Are you going to build the output from the server side, or are you going to build the output from the React side, on the front end side of it? And So you go around in little circles where you start off thinking, well, actually, it's probably best if I build it on the editor side in React. And then you realize you hit a barrier and then you think, hang on a minute, we've got to go back and we've got to render that on the server side. And then you come back and you go, oh, hang on a minute, we've got a JavaScript library that we're using for the calendar display, and that won't, we can't generate that from the backend side, so we now got to go back. It's just that voyage of discovery of chunks of technology that now I've done it, you know, now we've been through the process, then yeah, oh, it's easy, you know.
Yeah, looking back, everything in coding, yeah.
Everything in coding only takes 2 minutes when you know how to do it. It's the 15 hours of trying to work out which the best option is that's the hard bit. The other bit I discovered is that my developer, I think he just lost track. There were bits that were missing from it. So eventually, before it was going to, it was close to going live, close to being ready. And so I was testing various elements. And I said, because it was on this rolling contract, I said, okay, fine, let's close the contract off. I haven't got money to burn with people sitting there doing nothing particularly apart from me testing it. And then I start testing it and I just find there's holes in it.
Oh.
There's a hole there and there's a hole there. And so then I have to go back and then I have to relook at that code. And then I'm starting to think eventually, well, maybe I just shouldn't have used the developer in the first place and I should have just spent the time doing it myself. But that's a sort of tricky rabbit hole to go down, is you start saying you're going to do everything yourself.
Yeah, good point. So was it really a question that the developer in this case was kind of learning on the job, or because they didn't know how to do this, or was there something unique about the plugin that you've got that meant that no developer coming to it would have been able to know this offhand? In other words, was there learning that was required, and maybe 2 hours a day sort of didn't quite make the cut muster for that?
I think so. I think a lot of that. I mean, you bear in mind, that I know my plugin inside out. Mm. It's all my code. It's actually not all my code, because the very first version of the plugin used another plugin as scaffolding, which was actually built by Automattic, but they abandoned it after they had an official relationship with Eventbrite, but in about 2016 they actually abandoned the plugin.
Oh.
Left it everyone, which was very good for me.
Yeah, but not everybody else.
But once they actually abandoned it, because I was scaffolding off the back of it, and so it was a dependent plugin, and I actually just incorporated their code with proper attribution, of course, in my plugin. But so most of the code I know inside out, and I've been working on that code for years and years and years, so I have a massive unfair advantage over any other developer in understanding how it operates, and also not just how it operates from a code point of view, but how it operates from a business point of view and from a user point of view. I'm a product manager as well as a developer, so I understand the product.
Would you say that you would have done things differently? I know that you said with a bit of hindsight you may have thought, okay, I'll just do it myself. Being sort of fairly hard-nosed about it, do you think, even though the developer that you had, it may not have worked out perfectly with them, what do you think, if you had this time again, do you think you would have benefited from learning it yourself and then therefore having the knowledge of how all that worked and what have you, or would you probably just go the developer route again?
Right, okay, well, the world has changed since last year. We now have a massive selection of AI assistant tools. A year ago, we had a very basic AI capability to help you with coding. Now, we've got some very, very powerful tools. So, I today don't need a two-hour 2-hour-a-day developer because I've got AI tools. That's simple. If I could afford a permanent full-time developer, then yeah, I would go that route, but I wouldn't go a part-time developer. I don't. A part-time developer is substituted as an AI tool because AI tools make lots of mistakes and I review the code and that's fine. And a part-time developer will not know the product, just like an AI tool doesn't know the product. And it's the same thing. That's my current thinking.
Would you, again, sort of, if you had your time again, do you think you would even bother with this? Has it been like something that your user base has gone, oh yeah, we just hate the short codes. We really want the blocks and the Elementor widget and what have you. Or is it that everybody's still stuck on the short code?
Right, yeah, okay. So commercially, right. So when I launched it just before WordCamp Europe last year, and I launched it and I thought, okay, I'm going to try another price increase on this product because I've spent a lot of money. I mean, it's 2 hours a day, sounds not a lot, but to me, that does add up to a lot of money. Investment in the product is not my time, it's my cash. I will add a price hike because obviously there's more features. People are going to love it because it's linked to Elementor and people are going to, you know, more people are going to adopt it. And 1st of December this year, I put the price back down again because the price increase reduced sales, and my sales were down 8-10%. Total revenue includes sales was down more than that. Total revenue was down 8% since on that plugin from the price increase. So,
you can't attribute that to something else like, I don't know, a rival commercial product came into the marketplace or anything like that. It is very much related to the price increase. Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, the price increase did push me above a competitor, which I possibly meant some things went to that competitor. You know, it's difficult to say, but anyway. So I've had my non-Black Friday price reduction from the beginning of December permanent.
Okay, yeah. But do you think that regarding, you know, I know that you put a lot of work in, so you wanted to remunerate yourself for that, so the price went up. But let's imagine a scenario where you had never put the price up and it had stayed the same. Is the feedback, oh, this is great, we're all using the block editor now, this is exactly what we wanted? Or is it just, it's all the short code still, everybody's stuck on the short codes and it was probably a road that you never needed to go down in the first place?
Yeah, no one said block editor. A few people use the Elementor. Most people use the short code. And some people say, I wish you did this with Divi.
Okay.
And I think, no, I'm not going to bother.
The lesson here is that everybody wants exactly what they've got as their setup, right? So if I'm familiar with short codes, give me that. I'm familiar with the block editor, give me that. I use Divi, give me that. Elementor is my thing, give me that. That's just the way it's going to be. So, okay, it's a salutary tale, right? You've obviously decided to go away from the short code into the block editor and what have you. It's been difficult. You've had interesting learning curves about how to manage another person, whether or not that was worthwhile. What's the future then? Where's the? It's going to be abandoned in mid-December. Where's the plugin going?
Oh, I mean, the plugin earns good money. It's got very good recurring revenue on it. The plugin is complete. I haven't had any enhancement requests on the plugin for quite a while. It's got some very sophisticated features in it. So the plugin will continue to be supported. I do actually have a support person who works for me, so I'm not a complete solo preneur, if you like, and he handles the support things, but most of the support things are sort of like billings and I forgot to cancel and that sort of stuff.
We all know about that.
One of the interesting things is quite often we'll get it's not showing my events sold out or something like this, you know, when I've set the sold out text on there. And now the support question, instead of it says like, please cut and paste your short code so we can see what settings you've got. We've now got, if you're using Elementor, please let us know. If you're using the block, please let us know.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, of course, it's always cache, you know. It's like, we notice that you've got a caching plugin. Have you tried clearing your cache?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting, though, because of the nature of the WordPress ecosystem and the fact that you're building something which people want to deploy on the front end and there's parameters that need to be set. You've got to worry about what's popular, haven't you? So, you know, ignoring something like Elementor, which is just a gorilla in terms of its market share, it's absolutely massive. I don't know what the proportion of WordPress websites that are on Elementor, but it's not nothing. It's a fairly hefty number. And then you've got the block editor, which some people seem to rave about and other people don't want anything to do with still. Even though I think the adoption is becoming more and more widespread. And then you get the odd thing like, I want a Divi option, please, and so on. Yeah, it strikes me that this plugin, whilst profitable, hopefully has settled down. Now that you've achieved the block editor things, hopefully you can put that behind you. And for the next decade, at least, that's going to be something which you can rely on.
Yeah, I just have to resist the urge to build a Divi specific widget, you know, there's no real value in it because they can use the short codes. People can use the short codes in whatever bricks builder or whatever builder they want to use. And, you know, and we've got a good short code builder thing. So commercially, it won't add any value, I don't think. I'm not going to sell more.
If you were to add in some more options, so I think you said there were like 90 possible permutations of things that you could drop into the short code. So presumably you've had to port all of those 90 over to the UI in the block in some way. I think you said it was like it ended up being multiple blocks rather than this one like Goliath of a block. Are you happy now that if you introduce new features into the plugin, let's say you add, I don't know, some other thing which Eventbrite bring along in the year 2025, do you now feel that you're in a position to add that functionality into, well, obviously the plugin originally, yes, because you built that yourself, but the block version, you would be familiar with doing that yourself now?
Oh, absolutely. Nice. Because not only I fully tested it, but I had to fix a lot of issues with it. So absolutely would know. And also my developer followed my instructions, which was to make the underlying code, effectively configurable. So there are tables in there so that with rules-based tables so that we can just add one rule and it'll apply to the Elementor and the block itself. So pretty much straightforward to add new features, but nevertheless it's still at least three times the work than if it was just a short code, because you have to add it to the short code and then you have to go and add it to the configuration and then test it, you know, and testing is one of the big issues that you have. So you know, it's more work, but I don't see, I mean, that yes, there are Eventbrite keep adding new features.
I was going to say, they're not going to stand still.
And it's really annoying as well, because they added a feature called collections, which is really nice. You can put events in collections, and they haven't added it to the API.
Oh.
So I can't get collection data from them. I've looked at the underlying calls that are made from their front end, and I know what the calls are, but they won't let you access it as a third party. And it's just like, it's so annoying, because everyone's saying, can I just display everything in the collection? I said, no, unfortunately, you've got to fill, you've got to add some tags, which is supported by their API, that match their collections.
Oh, great. Know, so like, here's some more documentation for the workarounds that we've got. Honestly, sounds like the sort of story that I bet you, if we were to persuade you to come to a WordPress event and we put you in a room full of developers who had been through a similar experience, I'm sure there'd be lots of commonality, you know, tearing hair out and things that went well, things that didn't go well. What an interesting story, though, and kind of perfect for the time that we're at. I feel that most of the things in the future are going to be built with blocks. I just sort of feel like short codes are kinda
going to go away at some point. I doubt that the new things are being built in that way. I could be wrong, of course. But what a really interesting tale. Where do we find you, Alan, if we want to just reach out? I mentioned the website earlier, fullworksplugins.com. So FULLWORKS, and then plugins, plural.com. Apart from that, where do we find you? I know you're on some social stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Post Status Slack there. I'm on X or Twitter, as they call it. You know, I'm around, you know. Follow me on X. I've only got 450 followers.
And you can find Alan on alanefuller.com. No, it's not .com. It's on X. It's x.com/AlanEFuller. Go and check it out. Alan, what a pleasure to chat to you today. I hope that the year 2025 is... You know, I think both of us, it's fair to say, hopefully you won't mind, we already have the grey hair, so there's nothing that's going to change that. But I hope it's an easier ride in 2025 than it was over the last couple of years. Thanks for speaking to me today.
It's a pleasure. It's great to talk to you.
Okay, that's all I've got for you today. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. If you've got any comments about that episode, head to wpbuilds.com. Use the search and search for episode number 404. 404. Let's hope it's not found. Let's hope you can find it there. And if you do, leave us a comment on that page. We would really appreciate it. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also supported by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And we are very grateful to OmniSend for joining us as well. OmniSend, do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of roller coaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost, and OmniSend for their support of the WP Builds podcast. If you interact with them in any way, shape, or form, be sure to mention that you heard about them from WP Builds. Okay, truly wrapping up now. Just to say we'll be back for this week in WordPress on Monday. Head to wpbuilds.com/live at 2 p.m. on Monday, UK time, and join in the comments there. We really appreciate it. If you'd like to be a part of that show and come on as one of the guests, well, you can DM me on one of the platforms. We're very active on X. We're also active on Blue Sky as well. I will leave some links at the top of the website so that you can find out exactly where we are there. Okay, I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.